Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, it rained on us while we was fishing, and we still caught fish. It sure did. I need to introduce this lady again. This is Mrs. Hogan. She's still with me another day. You want to say something this time? You're not going to say nothing. All right. Bessel, love you too. Yeah. Holy Ghost fire. Yeah, 46 years. That's pretty nice. That's a long time for anybody. Look, I can't get this off of me, so I want to go ahead and do this early. But this thing here, before in Psalms 19, it's bugging me, so I'm gonna do it again. Verse 1, but I want to share this with you. See, there was a I don't know how to go about it. I don't know how to talk y'all's language of political correctness and eggshell living. I don't know how to do that. So I feel a little clumsy in your world sometimes because you just, I don't know, you just want things so pretty and painted, and it just is not that way most of the time. So there was this young girl in a village down in central east Mexico, and she made some bad decisions. Say, yeah, I know what that's like. I've made a few. Say it. But what's more important is how do you learn how to get over making bad decisions? You understand? Because some people don't. They just run through their whole life, and it's just one bad decision after the other, and they all compile and compress and collapse, and now everybody else has to deal with you broke. And every time you start getting unbroke, you make bad decisions and re-break. Stop it. Please, for our sake, stop it. Because I'm not going to make bad decisions in Jesus' name. So, well, she made these decisions, right? So you got this young village girl. She has no opportunity. She does, but to her she don't. Being in a village and learn and doing crops and living 50 years in purity, fresh air, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, dude, that is what all of y'all pay big money for, all of y'all. But they don't know that. See, they feel like they don't have these opportunities. Well, she made these decisions, and next thing you know, she's pregnant. All right, so... So now her world is broke. She has shamed her family. She has shamed herself. She had to run away. She had to. She was banished from lots of parts of her society, her life, and she came to the city. Not a big city, but bigger than a village. And she runs into one of our people who are preaching the gospel to everyone. That's what we do. And this young girl is, you can tell she's village, you can tell she's alone, they all think they're all cool and perfect and everything, but we know, all of us with this color, we know. And this family that took her into their home, not to abuse her, not to make a sex slave out of her, not to make a slave out of her of any kind, but to bring the gospel to her. Hello? They took her reproach and her shame and put Jesus in it. Hello? All right. Well, all of a sudden she goes into, it was too early to be labor, but they carry her to the hospital and the baby's dead. All right. Now, you, if you ask, probably everyone in here would have a different opinion on whether she deserved that or not. or her family, or who brought this about? Whose fault is this death? So they carried her to another doctor, then another doctor. So it's three opinions involved. And the baby's dead. It's gone. So here they bring her home. Now she's shamed because she can't even have a baby. Hello? And so the family didn't want to receive her, but the dad of our family, our Christian family, told the dad, "I'll make a deal with you. I'll ask God to raise your grandbaby from the dead if you'll let me preach the gospel to you." Now, see, in y'all's world, here again, you don't make deals with the devil. We wasn't. Our deal was with God, not with no devil. You got to understand the difference. It's big. And so the girl got prayed for. The daddy allowed the gospel to be preached. And in the morning, before our family leaves, the girl said, "Hey, the baby moved." So they carry it back to the same doctor, and the baby's alive and healthy. Yeah, and it was dead. It was dead several days. It was dead. This just happened just now. And so the dad of the girl said, "Who is this God that raises dead babies in the womb?" And our guy, who he wasn't even a preacher, he was just a good fellow. He says, "His name is Jesus." His name is Jesus. Listen to me. You may feel shamed or reproached or anxiety, like he's talking at fear of men or job descriptions or job sites or all of these things put pressure on you. I release you in Jesus' name. Do you hear me? You see, I don't have that. This is my job site. Do you see I don't have the pressure? I don't know your eggshells. I don't know how to walk on pressure so I don't break them. Somehow I crush them all. Then I find these sacred cows in the pen and I think they must be wanting to be sacrificed. So I stick all these sacred cows. And it really irritates people. But this now, this whole family that was humiliated and disgraced is born again. And not just that, but the daddy of the boy had a little bit of honor about him, brings the boy over and explains how they're going to try to work it out. And the boy that did this dishonored thing, he asked her, I heard the baby was dead. She said, it was dead. But this man right here prayed in the name of Jesus and the baby came back to life. And it freaked the kid out. He said, we know witch doctors that are powerful, but they cannot raise the dead. Who is this God? So now both families got saved. And basically problem solved, okay? You know, so I just want you to understand, anywhere from my grandson to what do you call it when people get prayed before they get married? What's that called? I don't remember. It's called adultery. So I don't know the other names for it. That's softer. I don't know. Oh, that's right. Premarital sexual activities. That's a way of a long word. It's so, that seems too nice. Holy Ghost. But I want you to wake up. Say it with me. Heavens,
declare
the glory.
Glory.
Heaven,
declare
the glory.
Glory.
Say it again.
Heaven.
Declare the glory. Firmament. Show and proclaim the handiwork of God. All right, now look. There's jump from there to verse 7. I did the other ones with the miniskirt net last night. I think that's awesome. Because I just got the courage to look you right in the face and expect you to like it. Verse 7. Look what it says. The law of the Lord. See, there's rules of man. Then there's rules of theology. Then there's rules of government. There's rules of these denominations. And then there's the law of God. All right. And that's all I'm going to say negative about stuff. I want to say positive. Look what it says. The law of the Lord is what?
Perfect.
It's perfect. You cannot, I don't, all of you in this section can sit down and decide to make the thing easier. You can't. It's already fixed. Quit working on it. Accept the word of the Lord. It's perfect. It cannot be fixed any better. Jesus is King. Do you understand me? Look, I was in this real fancy ministry place. I'm being tactful now. And these people are real famous to you. And I, you know, I go there, right? And it's packed out thing, and all these real important prophets and apostles are there, and these people, they're very, they're famous people. And I don't know why they would want me to preach, because I'm not famous like them. Only thing I got, listen, I apologize to all of you. Oh! The only thing I got out of this whole deal is I can raise the dead. So I'm sitting there. This is not my fault. I'm going on record. I'm just up there preaching the gospel and telling people how awesome Jesus is. And next thing I know, the guy on the front row, famous fella. I don't even remember his name, but he was famous. Y'all know him. He's that one. He jumps up, starts going off. He thinks he went retro. He went back into the 70s. You remember when the Jesus People movement came out of Azusa Street, went up and down and around and got whacked? We all got whacked. And everybody would get up and shout and run and, you know, and act like God was touching us and stuff. Y'all done got over that now. You done got famous. You done got important. You done got calmed down. You notice I haven't. That's henceforth the reason I'm not famous. Because I didn't calm down when everybody else did. And so this famous fella is cutting up. I mean, his legs is moving fast. I'm sitting there. I'm talking. And he interrupted me. I mean, he thought he was in the 70s or something. I mean, God used to be loud to hit people in church, but anymore it's just a morgue thing. It's just all about being calm and letting hear the little mice squeak across the thing. And so this, look, it's not my fault. You came out here on a Monday. What do you think's going to happen? I got to stir you up, boy. And so this fella's jumping at, you know, I'm just looking at him. Stop that and sit down and act like everybody else. He wouldn't listen to anybody. So I told the ushers, get him. Man, this dude's running. They chasing him. It was awesome to watch. It was wonderful to watch. I was impressed. So they bring him back by force, and he's still cutting up. You know, I thought, doggone, whatever he's electrified with, I want it. He's famous. Did I mention that part? He's not supposed to act like that. He knows better. He's famous. He knows he's not supposed to act like that. Famous people don't do that. They sit proper. They don't crack the shells. They walk on them high. Oops. So, I had no idea his true power. I never do know that kind of stuff because I don't pay attention enough for that. I don't care too much. So, listen, I had no idea, y'all, but what God did to that man was nothing to do with me. I said, what's the matter with you? This is not the 70s. You sit down. He said, it's not my fault. I said, oh, no, that's me. It's not my fault. You the one, you can't have my sentence. He said, Brother David, you was talking and the angel of the Lord appeared beside you. I said, where's that? And the angel of the Lord walked over this guy because I don't know what's wrong with the man. I just know he's famous. He's sitting in the famous row. And the angel of the Lord touched this fella. And when he did, see, I didn't know it, but the man's right leg was crushed flat. For 4 years, they've been trying to get this man back to walking, right? 4 years. And he had all kind of nuts and bolts and screws and pins and plates in his leg, right? And when the angel of the Lord took him, he took all that stuff and gave him a new foot. Yeah. And it lit that fella on fire. Somehow by the angel of the Lord touching him, he got caught on fire. So what we need is this. Say it with me. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
It would be great,
for the angel of the Lord
to catch me on fire. It turns out he was the third in command of Morning Star. That's a big enough deal. Because the next day I was down there at the Fort Mills with Brother Rick Joyner, and boy, he looked me right in the face. What's the matter with you? You tearing my place up. You know, I'm looking at him. I'm supposed to be afraid, right? Somehow I didn't make that cut. It's a true statement. And he goes, you tearing my place up. I said, probably. I am probably the cause of it. Now tell me what you're accusing me of. And then I watched the dude walk up that last night got the new foot. He said, this guy's on staff with me. We've been trying to get him healed for 4 years. And here he is completely with a new foot. Wow. See? Bam! So, we want that. Say it.
We want that.
This is what we're looking for.
This is what we're looking for.
Creation miracles.
Creation miracles.
Shalababakata. Holy Ghost. So let's read a verse so we can act like we know Jesus. Psalms 19:7. The law of the Lord is what?
Perfect.
What does it do? What does perfection do? Let's figure this out. I got the amplified deal. It says restoring. Say it. I want to be restored. See, because many of you sitting here, you got yourself saved. God, you were not head enough to listen. You did something right. And then you got whacked by the Holy Ghost. And then you got to going down through life and people started telling you what you couldn't do. But I'm not here to tell you what you can't do. I'm here to tell you what you can do. And let me tell you what that is. You can give people new feet. Because if you will worship the Lord, God likes that. And He sends His things, them beings, them angels down here. And they stand by you and look around and see what they can fix. Listen to me. Say it. I want that. You got to understand, I never once asked for all this special stuff. It just comes automatically with the package. And what package is that? Thanks for asking. It's the law of the Lord, and it's perfect. People won't listen. I'm telling you, I was so on fire. None of you would even let me close to you 40 years ago. And still, I notice whenever I get up, y'all move. And this is the old version. Boy, I was on fire. It's amazing. You walk in these grocery stores and these Walmarts and the lines and you get back there and start singing and speaking in tongues. It's amazing how much respect people have for the Holy Ghost. They just move right out of your way and let you go. The law of the Lord is perfect. See, in your world of management, of proper and etiquette, and some of those things are good in God, but the ones in humanity, they suck. That was probably too crude. Maybe I should have thought that out better. They're horrible. That's better. Okay. So, I fixed it. It's fixed. Listen, I do not like this thing of having to try to figure out what a crackhead in front of me is thinking. He needs to be worried about me. I am the favorite son of Almighty God. He needs to be wanting to be like me, not me worried about him. You understand? The church is backwards. So we're going to fix that. We're going to restore. Say it. I'm going to be restored tonight. Look what it says. In the Amplified, it says restoring the whole person. Well, I took the time to look that up. What does that mean? And over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul is, what does this be, the end though, Debbie? This be the end though? Yeah, that's right. This be the end though, say. Yeah, saying goodbye. That's right. He's saying his goodbyes to people, right? Because God's going to do whatever. God's going to have him killed. Something's going to happen. So, one of the things he says is, I pray to God that your whole body, your mind, body, and spirit be kept to the coming of the Lord. All right. But in y'all's world, you want, most of you want the intellectual thing. And I'm intellectual. I just act like I'm not. So I can make you feel better. And I'm doing a good job. Say it. Thank you. I'm doing a good job. Come on. Okay. So. And so. So, but I need you to understand what the whole person means. See, some of you have been ripped off mentally. People have hurt you, abused you. It may not be sexual or financial. It might be some sort of stress they put on you, just verbal or actual physical abuse. I need you restored in your mind. I need you brought back to level where God can take you to who He is. You hear me? Your bodies, many of you have believed the lie that some sicknesses have to be tolerated. That is wrong. All sickness is a devil. Excuse me? Yeah. And some of you, your mind, your body, your spirit, some of you do the spirit thing and you try to do, but your body holds you back, or your mental problems holding you down, or some of you, your spirit is not doing as good, but your intellect is awesome, but your physical is horrible. I need you to get them all fixed. All of them. I need you to want to get an upgrade. I know that I started out. Some of us have made bad decisions. I haven't. I've made good decisions. I decided to stay with my original person over here. I decided to stay with my kids. I decided to follow the Holy Ghost. I've made some good decisions that now down the road have worked out. And other people around me early on made different decisions, and they're dead. Literally dead. And the ones that ain't literally dead are dead. They're just horrible humans, and they can't seem to get over it. I need you to get out of that cycle, that viciousness of the demon. I need you to want the law of the Lord. And I need you to want it in the glory of God. I need you to want that. I need you to go, I need that. See, some of you have need of creation miracles. I haven't said a whole lot about that. But that's the new thing that's happening. There's like stacks of them. People are getting hearts and eyeballs and ears and teeth. And in one service in Cincinnati, we had 14 people got brand new teeth. 14 people. And I don't remember how many, 7 or 8 of them were due up for surgery, and they didn't, any of them, have to have surgery. I need you to want to be made whole. But it's the law of the Lord, and it's not some mosaic, work-oriented idea. It is the Spirit of the living God that loves you and wants you and wants to fill you with glory. Because He take you as you are and make you the best soldier the world's ever seen. I'm telling you, listen, it seems like boasting, but God's made me one of the best soldiers alive. In my physical, y'all, I am blessed. I've died twice, had 7 incurable diseases. Look at me! Healed! My sharpness is sharpness up here. It's awesome. I'm blessed. I'm telling you. And my spirit is just so filled with mercy and goodness and life. It's abounding in the goodness of God. Do you understand? I need you to want that. I don't need you to dwell in the uh-oh and regret I did 5 years ago, 5 minutes ago, or 50 years ago. I need you free. Because you can be. You can be. I have been set free. Is that right or wrong, Mrs. Hogan? You're the only one that knows. And you stayed. And now look at us. Who'd have thought it? Restoring the whole person. The testimony of the Lord. See, well, brother, praise the Lord. You know, I'm not sure. You, I know we're not sure. Back off. But God, on the other hand, is perfect. He is sure. The things of God can be relied upon. Do you hear me? I said, do you hear me? Last time I was down in Mexico, one of my granddaughters got stung by one of these deadly scorpion things. We got in there and I was able to grab the thing and crush it. God says you'll walk on scorpions and snakes. And in my world, it's literal. But you see, the baby's crying. It's a head wound. But you take that child and you kiss that wound and you hold that baby, and the next thing you know, it's snuggling, going to sleep. The pain leaves. And in the morning, you can't even see the wound. Listen to me. You can trust the Lord. You can believe the Holy Ghost. The Lord is sure. It's perfect. It's restoring. It's wonderful. It's wunderbar. Holy. Holy. I was up there with the Canucks not long ago, and they brought this fella in. It was in a place called Brampton. It's probably 40 minutes from Toronto to the away. I don't know which direction. It's away. Anything south is U.S., so it must have been north or west or east or somewhere. And so they brought this man in a chair, four men, because he's a big fella. And I'm looking at him, and they got this little divan thing and put his leg up on there. His leg's in a cast like that thing right there, that great thing over there. And so I walk over there, me, I'm nosy. I'm interested. Because what I'm seeing is not how it's going to end up, more than likely. Because the law of the Lord is perfect. Regardless of what happened to this human, God can restore him to perfect. And so I'm sitting there looking at him. What's wrong with you? Oh, brother, praise the Lord. I said, are you serious? I got to listen to you, whiny bag. Oh, my God. All I want to know is what the dead gummit happened to your dead gummit leg. I don't want to hear all this whiny religious stuff. Oh, that almost came out, Miss Hogan. You're going to have a lot more stuff to fix. Oh, my God, it's floating out. I feel so energetic over here. Stuff's trying to happen. It's going to get me in trouble. I can feel it, Ma. You can fix it, right? Yeah, whatever. She'll live with it. She's with me regardless. So there you go. Bam. Me and her is enough. I promise. I was going to say something else. I'm not. So, I need you to feel nervous. Because see, when I talk, and my mama's 91. She was a pastor's wife for 48 years. And when I talk, she sits there with her hand over, and her face is red. She's nervous about what's been to come out of my mouth. And she tells me, she'll walk up, littlest old frail thing. You did good, son. But you got close a couple of times. I tell her, yes, ma'am, clothes is okay. And hand grenades and horseshoes. It's all right. So I asked this fellow, what'd you do, man? He said, man, I got in a car wreck and my leg is all, it was all broke from the knee down. The whole thing just, I said, oh, dang, that must, wow, I'm glad I'm not you. Lord have mercy. You must be in pain, man. He said, I am, but they give me some stuff, it knocks it out pretty good. I said, are you on drugs right now talking to me? He said, a little. I said, all right, it's okay, because I'm going to give you something your drugs can't fix, boy. And I reached over and touched him, and not one thing happened. He just looked over at his wife and said, I need some more drugs. That didn't work. Look, I'm sitting up there talking. This is not my fault. I apologize to y'all. But the Holy Ghost hit that joker. This is not my fault. I'm just up there telling people how awesome Jesus is. And all of a sudden, this guy starts vibrating. I'm thinking he overdosed. We're going to have to get the people with the oxygen in here. We're going to have to get them paramedics in here. This guy here, he's over there. I'm thinking, oh, my God. And the next thing I know, he turns and looks at me. So I looked over that way. It couldn't be me he's looking at. And he jumps up. I'm thinking, no, don't do that. And he did it anyway. And all of a sudden, he's trying to shake that thing off. I told his wife, did you give him some of them pills? She said, I didn't do it. I said, it wasn't me. I was over here talking. Y'all should have seen that fella. Because all of a sudden, he couldn't shake that thing off because of the way they have him tied on. And he just started walking. I said, ushers, get him. But the next thing you know, the further he walked, he started running. And the next thing you know, the drugs are gone and the broken bones are gone. And all the while, you hear? Come on. Come on. I want that. That's what I want. That's why I'm preaching to you, because I saw that with my very own eyeballs. And you know, they took him to the thing and they whacked off that stuff, and that dude was completely healed. And them doctors were worried about their wires and things they put in him. Where'd it go? We don't know. We don't know where they went. They just wasn't there no more. I don't have any idea why God does that weird stuff. But it seems to be pretty awesome. The law of the Lord, what is it?
Heaven.
Say it,
heaven!
Show me the money, the glory!
Show me the glory!
Holy Ghost!
Holy Ghost!
Holy Ghost! Shaka-ba-ba. You do well to follow me because I'm right about this. I'm serious. I don't know why God likes me so much, because he's the one that's the mess, not me. God really thinks he can do anything. I don't know what's wrong with him. We all try to talk him out of it with unbelief, but he just does it anyway. The law of the Lord, what is it?
Perfect.
What does it do?
Restores
who? The whole person. Say it. I want to be restored.
I want
my mind restored. I want my body restored. I want my spirit renewed. I want it restored. Say it. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. See, You see why I have a chance, right? I can do this. You can say, boy, you're simple, you're this. Really? You can't do what I can do. Sit down. I'm telling you, I was over yonder in the Czech Republic, and that place was so packed out, and it was bumpy. There was Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists. I mean, they was mad, those people. They was mad at me, and I was letting them be mad because I was telling them how awesome Jesus was. I wasn't about to back down from that mess. Jesus is king. And all of a sudden, this woman started screaming in the balcony. She said to me, loud, pretty woman, but she was loudmouth thing. She says, we've heard enough of all these words. Stop it! Heal the sick! Boy, I turned at her and I said, sit down and shut up. I don't do well with politically correct and eggshell stuff. You could have probably handled it way better. Oh, that's right. You weren't there. It was me. It was me. And so they got to live with it. And you do too. So, here's what I said to the lady. I'll gladly give you this microphone. You think you can do such a better job? Bring it. See how simple life is for me? Put up or shut up, baby. Right now, sit down and let me do my job. Because I'm good at it. I might break a few eggshells, and I might not understand politically correct ideas. Well, I probably understand them. I probably don't want to do them. And it's not rebellion. It's right and wrong to me. The truth is what sets people free. And y'all, if y'all could have seen that lady fight, because see, there was a fight broke out. It was too many people. It was like 2,000. Too many people. Ow! So many. And this woman dragging that kid. See, she had this. There was this woman fight because my bodyguards all had these automatic guns and that because they was threatening me to kill me because I wouldn't hush. I broke too many of their eggshells. And I killed too many of their sacred cows. And next thing I know, these boys big. My bodyguards are big. I'm not little. They were way bigger than me. And they had guns on top of them. And they fighting. And I'm going, what in the world are you guys? I'm trying to preach over here, you knotheads. This is a mess. But I'm determined to push on through any kind of obstacles in Jesus' name. Give me some hammers. Let me whack some more of them eggs. I'm not getting enough of them with my feet. Let me get them with some hammers. And so this is how it happened right here. That lady, she broke through somehow. I guess they had to have let her through. But what I'm seeing is this big fight, right? And then this woman breaks through and she's got this kid and he's all twisted up. About 15 or 16 year old thing. And he's so hurt. And she was determined to get me her baby. And these bodyguards were not going to stop her. And they didn't. And she come up there, and I'm standing there looking, you know, and this dean of this university is my interpreter. And he's telling me, what you going to do now? What you going to do now? This is a big problem. And I'm telling him, shut up. I do this every day. I'm not impressed with somebody's literary abilities. I'm impressed with God's abilities. Do you hear me? And now look, that woman climbed up on that platform with me and she dropped that kid on my shoes and I'm looking at this little broken, twisted, mangled human and she got a hold of my britches leg and Miss Hogan wasn't there to defend me. I was on my own with this. And she's saying something to me in the Czech language, and I can't get it. And I said to this important, smart guy, would you please interpret for me what she's saying? Well, she believes that you can heal her son. I said, she's the smartest one in the room. You knothead, this is what I do for a living. Because you, in your intellect, do not know that my God can't. You may believe he can't, but that don't stop him. Because I believe he can. And so, I recently picked this boy up. You know, boy, that thing was heavy. I don't know how she's toting that old looker-headed kid around. And he's all twisted. He's making all these weird noises and carrying on. And he's not happy at all because he's scared of me because I'm big and I'm not happy. She'd have interrupted my perfect message. And then that woman up there, I am getting boiling point over here. Probably won't take the third one. It ain't going to be good for these people. And right in front of us, listen to me. I apologize to you about this. This is not my fault because I was displaced in my humor. I was angry at them for messing with me. But they needed Jesus. It's not you. It's Jesus. And to her, I was the closest thing to Jesus she's ever seen. Do you understand that? And look at me. I'm a distance away from him. But he is in me. And he quoted it a while ago. Greater is. He who is in me than this thing that's in the world. And that noisy woman and these hostile people and all this stuff. Because I'm supporting it all. I'm good. Bring it. It makes me sleep good at night if I've made some devils hostile. I feel like I can sleep good now. I've done my job. I have lit hell on fire with one match. And right in front of us all, I mean the whole plate. You ought to heard how quiet it got all of a sudden. Because I'm sitting here holding this kid by the shirt collar. It wasn't right. But you wasn't there to show me how. Now, was you? And Mama didn't care. You understand? She just wanted me touching that kid. And man, right there, all of a sudden, you start hearing bones snapping and popping and cracking. And I'm going, what? I told the dean, tell him I didn't hurt this boy. I never touched him. What's happening is not my fault. And his bones, he's been that way since birth. And they're frozen. But to get them going, they had to break or move. I don't know how God did it. But just snapping and cracking and popping. Because it's right on my microphone. And it's loud. And the place went dead calm. And all of a sudden, the little boy stands up and he looks at his mama and gives her a hug. Yeah! You hear me, right? Shukaba. I might be a little bit aggressive, but that great Holy Ghost is way more aggressive than I am. At least I didn't reach and start snatching his bones and popping them. God don't care. He just does it anyway. I don't know what's up with him. It's truth. That's truth. I like that. And when that little old boy grabbed his mama and they talking and all that, I ain't learned to talk. I don't have a clue. Hush, hush. Don't ask me them questions. I'm just as amazed as any of you sitting in this room. Give me a hammer. I got to break another eggshell. I know how to do that. But answer these questions you can't answer. I don't know. But break eggshells, I got that. I don't know, y'all. I don't know how it happened, but you should have seen it. You should have experience the mercy. It makes you like you see me. It makes you not understand anything else. Everything else is foolishness. It makes you want more. It makes you want more. Because all of a sudden I didn't know. I just quit talking because that wasn't working. And so I said, okay, let's get some people saved. Man, you ought to have seen them running. Because see, every one of them people in there saw God heal that boy. They were sprinting by the hundreds. And when you see that, it hurts your feelings. It because of the complacency of satisfied, successful people. That's why you find me hard to deal with you. Because I'm not mad at you. I feel sorry for you because you think you're okay. And we need Jesus. We need to burn with desire for our bridegroom. I'm telling you, that's right. That's right. Then I didn't tell you all this part, but there were 14 imams sitting in there. And they were pretty puffed up at me. They were pretty mad. They were pretty much wanting to draw down, you know. Because I was going ahead and saying how awesome Jesus was, and I wasn't including any other God. Because my Bible says you shall have no other God before me. So I decided to elevate the name of Jesus. And after that miracle, and after me confronting all these people and doing all the things I was doing, I was whacking eggshells everywhere. I just looked right at the imam and said, "So, you want to get born again?" And the head imam looked me right in the face and said, "Yes, I do." Why? And all 14 of them come down there. I got down there, and they let me hug them. Isn't that something? I led him to Jesus myself. How about that? Come on. Shalabakata ba ba ba. I know what they've been pumping down your ear things. I can't think of the right words, so I'm not going to tell you what came to my mind. They made y'all afraid of these people. And there are some knotheads out there. But so am I out there. I'm trouble for all of them. Do you understand that, right? Shikala, ba, ba, ba. Because I have a solution to the problem. It's not give you more bullets and more guns. It's give you Jesus and He'll fix everything. Holy Ghost. And I'm right about this, by the way. I don't know if I've told y'all that yet. Look what it says. We only made a couple of verses. Let's make it a little bit more. The precepts of the Lord. What are they? What's it right? Verse 8, say what? What does it say? They are right. Rejoicing the heart. Look, do you see how much my heart's rejoicing, right? You can see me, right? It's this way all the time. It really is. Y'all, I heard something. Brother Don and I were talking today, and I told him I wanted to share something with y'all that happened just now, recently, and because I noticed that successful modern Christianity in America allows or has tolerance for or is complacent with certain diseases. One of them is which is diabetes. Asthma, bronchial problems. And I'm not tolerant. I have zero okay with that. Any of it. All right? So I'm in this piney woods of this state, Arkansas. And it was the county I was in is the number one methamphetamine cooker in the United States. So without saying anything else, let you know how horrible their problems are there. Do you understand? And so, you know, I'm there and I'm, you know, me. I'm addressing it head on. Cowards, crutch needers, devils. I don't agree with drug running and being hooked on drugs. And I don't agree with y'all, these things y'all do. I don't agree with it at all. There's more prescription drug addicts sitting in this room than there are out in the next neighborhood. I disagree with you. And I'm going on record to hell and heaven. Jesus is key. We have got to figure out how to adjust that. And we adjust it looking for mercy. We adjust it believing in the perfect law of the Lord. And you say, well, help me. I'm fixing to in just a minute. And let me tell you why. Because there was a fella that they brought him in. And I want to tell you about this guy. They were going to amputate his legs. That was on a Friday. And they were going to amputate his legs on Monday. Is that horrible enough for you? And it was diabetes. And I don't know. I just see a wheelchair. And I'm automatically attracted to it. Just so I can rebuke it. Those things aren't okay. Jesus is King. And we somehow got to get ourselves fixed. Mind, body, and spirit. So we can help our neighbor to get mind, body, and spirit fixed. Do you hear me? And so, I don't like what's happening to you. I rebuke the demon against you. I rebuke the worms and the devouring fires of hell. I light hell on fire in here in Jesus' name. With the Holy Ghost and mercy. Shoka tanya tahani. Shalababa. And this guy, he's back there, and I noticed him. Got his entourage of folks and all that, and they're all crying and making a noise and a ruckus and all that stuff. And I don't like that. I don't agree with it at all. So I decided to go back there and make myself confrontive. So I walk back there, and this people is weeping because he's going to die and everything. And that is an emotional burst. See, your world is in an emotional state of chaos. You know it's not right, but you indulge anyway. That makes you a partaker. I am not in agreement. Figured that out yet? Give me another hammer. I'll break your egg you standing on. Now listen, I don't agree. And I'm not against you. If I was against you, I would act like it. But I know we can fix this problem. We just need to trust the Holy Ghost. We need a light on fire. Well, brother, you what? Spent money? That's nothing. How much prayer and fasting? How many hours agonizing, beating on heaven's door have you done? I need you to seek the Lord. Not complain about me being too aggressive and rough. Before you came here, you knew I wasn't slick. So who's to blame? There you go. So listen to me. Listen to me. Thank you for coming. Thank you for tolerance for me. I'm going to use every ounce of it. Listen. My wife is a good lady. Say, yes, she is.
Yes, she is.
Shaka da ba 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 ba. So I roll up on this guy, you know, and I'm seeing all, there's his wife, and she's blue hulu hoo, and her mascara's all over the place, dripped all the way in the door. Mama's standing right there holding her daughter-in-law. They're going to lose her, boy. I roll up on them, what's up? And they're all crying. They want to tell me this story they've been repeating 7,000 times about how powerful hell has been in destroying their family. I don't want to hear it. So I said, excuse me, Mom. Be great if you quit crying right now. How long has it been going on? 27 years. How's it been going for you? It don't work. I need you to dry that emotionalism up. It does hurt. It does feel bad. I do get that. But this is way overdone. And y'all, I'm sorry to you about what happened. God is God. He's the one that backs me. I'm sorry. I know you wish he wouldn't, but he does just because he's fun. That's why. That mama, do you understand that emotional whiny thing turned to anger? You know how quick that happens. It's pretty quick. But I want her angry. I want her putting a force and energy out besides an emotional burst. I want it to be a different type of emotion. I want her listening to me. We don't know he's finished. What we know about the disease and about his condition, it seems like it. And we have 400 in front of him that have already died with it. You're right about that. But he's not dead yet. So I'm not willing to give up the fight. And then after he dies, I'm not. But that's me. Y'all, I'm telling you, this woman was a little bit testy. And you have to understand, I enjoy that. I act like I'm submissive, but I'm getting ready to drop that shoulder and put it right under your chin. I'm serious. I ain't taking it. We have a living human being here, and we're mourning for him like he's dead. No! No! We speak life over this thing. I just reached and got the Velcro. That was a mistake. He was heavy. He was a big old feller. Even in his weakened condition, he was big. And I'd been working out, but it wasn't enough. I pulled him up out of there, all them things dangling off of him and that. And I couldn't hold him, so I chunked him back in his chair. And I'm putting the Velcro back on him. Next thing you know, Mom's arm's in there putting the Velcro back. And she's looking at me, and she's seething a little bit. And next thing you know, that boy, the man, grabs my arm. Thank you. Welcome, little brother. I just need you to be good. If you got healed, that would help me out a lot with your mama. And, you know, and that was it. I went up there and did my thing, and they brought him on up there, and Mama's staring at him. I mean, she's glaring. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I better send Miss Hogan out to get my truck and hide it around by the back door. That woman going to knife me and then shoot me. That part of the world, that's what they do over there, you know. I got out of there, though. I didn't get hurt. Thank you, God. Good thing, I guess, couldn't pick my truck out because it looked like all the rest of them sitting out in the parking lot. That was a Friday night. About 4 or 5 days later, I'm over in another county, the second most prominent methamphetamine county in the United States of America, in the same state of Arkansas. And so I'm sitting there, you know, and preaching the gospel. Y'all, I'm cracking eggs, buddy. Because they're not right. If you're walking on eggshells because you fear God, I'll let you alone. Otherwise, break them. And this is so awesome. I'm standing up there with my grandsons, three of them, and I'm standing there, and we're watching gold fall and diamonds, and we're just amazed at it. And we're pretty, I lost track of where the bad guys was because I was busy with the trinkets. And this big fella walks up on me, And he got up close to me. I said, "You're going to have to back up just a little, you big old feller. I don't want you close to me. You might be not the good kind. And you big boy." And he says, "I want to say thank you." I said, "Did I do something good?" He said, "You did." I said, "Okay, you can come closer then." It's a true statement. And I said, "What's up with you? You ready for this?" He said, "Brother David, Monday I was supposed to have my legs chopped off." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, I'm the guy from the wheelchair from the other place you was at." He said, "I didn't have to have surgery." He said, "Not only did I not have to have surgery, they've been doing tests on me for several days." You ready? Watch this. The doctors wrote it out on their fancy letterhead stuff. "We don't know this. This is the first time we've ever seen this. His body got all of its feeling back in his extremities, and the legs were healing themselves from the inside out." And that guy looked at me and he showed me that, because I'm not a doctor, but I've been around the block a few times. And my nephew's a full-on doc and he teaches me stuff. So I'm looking through these papers. I am impressed with the number, because they went from cut the legs off to close to perfect. You understand what I just said to you? What's this? No more medicine. He's off of it all. That is impressive. That is who your God is. That's the law of the Lord that is perfect. Do you hear me? That's the law of kindness, of goodness, of mercy. That's what that applies to, buddy. Do you hear me? You see why I'm so excited? You hear all these leg stories I'm telling y'all? Why does this thing want my numbers? What'd y'all do to my deal here? All right. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Go ahead and say it. Father, thank you for the joy of the Lord.
Thank you for the joy of the Lord.
It is my strength.
It is my strength.
It is my shield.
It is my shield.
It is my buckler.
It is my buckler.
It is my defense. Look what this says. The commandment of the Lord. What is it? Look what it says in my thing. It's pure. It's bright. Enlightening the eyes. Look at me. This stuff. Look at me. I'm on fire. Telling y'all, I like my job. You understand that? Huh? You know, I got in trouble at it, Brother Bill Johnson's, because you know he's calmer than me. He wants me to come there, you know, and preach for. Usually it's a week. They do a week-long thing, and I preach two sessions in the daytime in his schools, and then we have a big shindig at night. And so I walk in there, right? And this place is so full, I almost didn't get in. I mean, they had to fight and let me in, and I'm supposed to be talking. So I go rolling up in there, and there's Brother Bill, and we kiss and hug and all that. We're good friends for a while. He's a pretty good fella. And I looked at him. I said, "Heard some negative reports about y'all. You know, sometimes it comes out before I thought about it." You know what his response to me was? "Yeah, I heard some similar reports about you." I said, "Touche." I said, now what I need to know is, am I going to get to preach up in here or do I need to go home and eat a Subway? He said, you're going to preach, buddy, or I'm going to get lynched. I said, all right. I said, but I need to know one thing. What would I ask the man? You have no idea, do you? What interests me? You know, you don't even know. So I'm going to tell you. I looked at this. He's a great man. This man is a statesman. You know that. He's a father. You know that stuff. So do I. And so I look him right in the face and I say to him, I need to know one thing from you. What limitations you putting on me? I want to know if I can live with the chains you going to strap on me. And he kicked back. Y'all ever seen how he does it? He kicks back, puts his hand up there. He's not like me. He thinks about stuff before he says it. He said, you in this house have zero limitations. Hey, listen, that you do you understand how awesome that is to have that with such caliber of people? That's a good thing, y'all. And so I thought to myself, self, how rude can I get to get these people here? And I thought of this story. And I'm going to tell you, then we're going to pray. Unless y'all don't want to do that, we can just pray. It's a dead raising, and it's pretty awesome. Well, I got in trouble with them because Brother Bill's wife, she's a friend of mine. Her and I are similar in a few ideas. And so we get along quite well. Every time I get around her, it's like this, I don't know, this energy happens and goes. I can't hardly see out to preach. So much amazing is going on. And so I'm there. And I started telling her, because I got caught leaving Australia. I'd worked 40-something days straight and had a couple of off days thrown in, but I was just tired. I was just wanting to, and I got so many miles on all these airlines, I get first class. And I was, you understand how awesome I was looking for that? That first class thing makes that long haul flight not quite as bad. Especially when you get on the one that's got your own private cook. I like that. Little fella comes in his stupid looking hat. And he walks up there, you know, with this dung towel thing. And he goes, how may I serve you? I said, a lots of ways. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that. My wife is there and we're rolled up and we're tired. And I'm so pleased that I'm going to be able to put her in first class with me. And they called my name on the thing, and I thought, I must be fixed to get it upgraded to the captain's chair. And I go rolling up there, and they said, we're sorry to inform you. I don't want to hear sorry. No, stop talking. No. Don't talk to me. Well, they did anyway. They bumped us back to the chicken coop. Oh, look, I absolutely said no. And Miss Hogan, she don't say anything. She is like okay with any. Ah, doggone it, she said, ah. When I get big enough, I'm going to get to be like her. And I'm fussy, really fussy with these people, and all of a sudden the hand touched my shoulder and I look at her. No, not now, go away. I'm being a human and you're going to let me? And I got bouncy. I said, nothing doing. You're putting me, I don't care who you have to twist, somebody's not having mine in my wife's chair. I tell you what, just stack us up together, we'll be all right. No, and they put us, I don't know, it's like row 1 million or something. And so Ms. Hogan grabs my arm. It went from this little soft touch to a tender grab. And I said, woman, I told you to let me alone. If I can't have first class, I might as well sit a night in jail. And see, in your world, you don't think like that. That's because you're not telling us the truth. And so I said to her, leave me alone, woman. And she said, I'm not. You're going to preach. What you preach, you're going to live, and you're going to do it right now. Do you understand? My attention turned off of this lady onto my wife, and I wanted to bite her. And when I started telling the truth about this thing, you ought to have seen Miss Benny, Brother Bill's wife. Come on with that real human idea. And so I lit it up on the truth. And that got me in so much trouble. Y'all have no idea. But then, so finally Miss Hogan says, look at me. I'm going home, David. And you are going with me. Now, oh, I wanted to hit her so bad. It's just not legal. It is so illegal to be a coward like that. So I said, fine. So I'm standing there now. And she's pulling me around like I'm something's wrong with me. There was something wrong with me. It's called being a human. And all of us in this room are that. That's why we need the law of the Lord to be perfect in our spirits. So that when these times of humanity arise, hopefully the Holy Ghost is bigger. But I'm going to tell you what happened. Is it okay? We go back there and they went with me back there. I was escorted. And I'm sitting in my chair, right? And I'm not going to say another word to anybody till it comes to the United States Border Guard. And if he asks me, how was your flight? I'm going to tell him. Horrible. And so I'm sitting there, right? And I mean, I'm back there and the chickens are right behind me clucking and I don't like that. And so I'm sitting there, and Ms. Hogan said this to me. How dare you? You know God cares for you and loves you. You know there's something better on the horizon for us. Now you accept it and let's move on. And I look at her. Look, you think you know courage. Living with me takes courage. And this quiet person has it. She told me the truth. And I didn't like it. I wanted to be mad. I wanted to be a human. You understand that, right? Go say yeah, because that's what you like. Say yes. You like being in the flesh. It's fulfilling. Makes you feel better about yourself. And my wife said these words to me. Something is going to happen. It's going to prove me right. I said, whatever. This conversation is over, woman. It'd be great if you didn't speak to me again the rest of the trip. And that's a long 13 hours from Sydney to Los Angeles. Mad. You don't want to be mad on the plane. You want to be happy. Please understand I was wrong. All right. So watch. We're like four or five. We're past Samoa. We're way up there, close to the Equatoria, up there. The water's fixed to start turning the way I'm used to it. And so, all of a sudden, the fella in the chair in front of me. Now, I'm not talking about 10 rows over to the other side of the plane. I'm talking about the man in front of my seat starts bucking. I said, Miss Owen, wake up. There's an idiot. And Ms. Hogan started observing the situation. And she didn't say nothing, but the idiot wasn't bucking. It was somebody else. true statement. And all of a sudden, Miss Hogan said, start praying. I said, no. She said, you're going to do your job. You know, listen to me. Being a human is awful. This don't work. This is why we have so much trouble, y'all. We got to stop that. It is not okay to be in that condition. Because the man in the chair in front of me died. Okay, let's figure this out. I've been set up. And I failed the test. So if I believed like you, the man would have been, we'd have had to go back to Sydney and had to pull him off the jet. But if you believe like Ms. Hogan, she looked me right, she just pointed at me, do your job, buddy. I said, woman, get out of my face. See, I'm still not relenting. Man, this obstinate thing that we live in called the flesh is not okay, y'all. Is the truth okay? Can I give you that? Because every one of you, every one of us in here live in this world, in this realm. When God wants us living in another realm. I'm so sorry to you I was that way, but Lee, I hope I'm not that way next time. But odds are against me. So here's how it went. Ms. Hogan said, because they brought the doctors, you know how they, you may not know, but they call, when there's trouble, they call for doctors, nurses, and that. So a whole stack of them came. And they pronounced him dead right in front of me. And Ms. Hogan says, she says to me, you reach up there, you get you some courage and you pray for that man. I said, I will not. You think it's God? Talk to that wife of his. Now, she just lost her husband. This is not okay, y'all, to be a human. Hello? I'm telling the truth. Is that okay? Yes, sir. Because we're human and we don't want to get over it. And so Ms. Hogan goes, excuse me, ma'am. My husband raises the dead for a living. And I look at her, what? Can he pray for your husband? And the woman goes, please help us. We'll take this up later. What the? Are you serious? You got all these doctors and none of these people believe and they're all staring at me. Remember, I'm the guy that caused the scene back yonder 4 hours ago. I don't get embarrassed and I don't feel shame very much, but I never got a little close. I said, are you okay with that, ma'am? She says, I am. I stood up in front of everybody, put my hand on his, now he's dead now. They done got him buckled up for transport. I laid my hands on him and I went from being this mean human to being this Shandabai guy. And see, in your world, you don't like that. In my world, I don't like that. I wish I'd have been better. I will next time. Because it's coming. And I'm going to do better. I'm going to give you my word for that. I'm going to be more like Jesus next time, buddy. But it has happened since then, and I have been better. So, there you go. And now look, I started praying for this guy, and he was dead a long time before Ms. Hogan ever talked. And then we prayed a lot. And this woman looked me right in the face. She says, do you understand we believe in the Holy Ghost? And I'm just looking at her, thinking how much I admire them for sitting back here with the chicken coops like that. You got to understand. I need you to understand. We need to change. We need more of Jesus. We need to be more like Jesus to the world. Because the example they're getting from us is not preferable. We need to change that. Please. Tonight we're going to do a fire tunnel, if that's still okay. Then we're going to go through here and we're going to get some impartation, but not flesh. You say it. I have enough of that. Say it. Because I know you. You're human. You got plenty. We want the Holy Ghost. Say it. Because the law of the Lord is perfect. Rejoicing the heart. So I need you to want to do this. Hello? So, stand up. Because I need to get him raised from the dead, and then we'll do our little fire tunnel thing. Here's how it went. I guess I prayed for him 20, 30 minutes. Humbled ain't even close to the right word how I was at that moment. I didn't feel shame. I didn't feel embarrassed. But I was wrong, and I didn't like that part. But I had to be there for that man. You understand or not? It was necessary. And all of a sudden, you should have seen it when that man took a breath. I mean, the doctors backed up fast, but I mean, you should have seen them. They're not the only ones. So did I. I was right in the same pile with them. It's His mercy. It's not you. He needs us, wants us, uses us, but He don't need us in the flesh. We need to be in the Holy Ghost. Please let this help you. Let my frailty and weakness and mistake be a witness to your spirit. That man came back to life and doctors checked him out and man, that dude's okay. I mean, he was okay. I just wish you could have seen it. I'm glad I did. I'm glad my wife stood her ground. I'm glad she wasn't afraid of me. I'm glad she don't have to be afraid of me. You understand that, right? No matter how aggressive and bold and bad I am, dude, she's who she is. Bring it. And we got finally to Los Angeles. Thank you, God. I can get out of that case scenario thing I put myself in. And I'm getting stuff, and I got his stuff, and he turned around and looked at me. I mean, this is the dead man that's alive. And he says to me, "Thank you." I said, "Yes, sir. You're welcome. But you need to thank my wife." And his wife grabbed my arm. Said, "We believe in raising of the dead. Thank you for being here for us." I said, "Yes, ma'am." I felt a little bad about it, but not much. But our God is so bigger than we are. He knew that when He assigned us to our assignment. He knew our frailties. He knows your weakest. He loves you, I tell you. Put your miniskirt on and hush. Come on. I'm right about this. I don't like it either that I was grumpy. I didn't have the right. You're right about that. If you teach me how to raise the dead, maybe I'll listen to you. Listen. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm asking you to trust Jesus. I'm asking you to let Him fill your life with joy and mercy and goodness and kindness and meekness. Qualities of who He is. We can do this. We can do this. And that woman reached up and touched my face. Anyway. Really helped me, you know. I don't like being that human. Because aggressive as I am, you got to know there's the other side of that thing. It's there. And it's a fight. And I usually win most of the time. But I'm not asking you not to be human. I'm asking you let God be God in your life. And He'll take your three, four little old fish and a couple of breads, and He'll feed the multitudes with it. He loves you. He loves you. That's a true statement. Thank you for letting me express my humanity to you with truth. Regardless of how you accept it or not, that's not my problem. You'll need me. You'll call me. Because I'll be in play. I might be a little bit human on the side, but I'll be there. Hello? And that's not an excuse. I don't accept it. I'm going with the Holy Ghost, with the fire of the gospel. And I suggest you do the same thing in Jesus' name. What do you want to do?
Yeah. Shane, raise your hand right there, Shane. We're going to start the fire tunnel right here. Worship team, and or not worship team, but prayer team and altar workers, going to line up right through here. We're going to start. Everyone's going to walk around that way, and we're going to come by Shane. We're going to come out this way, okay? We're going to, everyone by the wall, we're going to come over here. It's going to start here. Yeah.
We're going to need some ushers.
We need some ushers.
Hey, can I give the team?
Yes.
I know y'all are trained already. I understand that. And I am not at all nervous or worried about your training. But here's what I need you to know. What's going to happen is the spirit of prophecy is going to come upon you. Yeah. And I'm all right with that. But I don't want you stopping 400 folks from getting touched because you want to prophesy to somebody for an hour. And I'm not rebuking you. You hear me? I'm not. I wouldn't do that. I want you just to take those people and pull them to the side and just fill them up with prophecy. Good life. 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 Do you hear me? Are you hearing me, team? Right here, team? It's simple. There's going to be miracles here tonight. There's going to be Holy Ghost here tonight. There's going to be mercy here tonight. Starting with me.
Yes.
Holy Ghost. We're going to need ushers because they're going to get a wacky-dacky going over here.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, when that spirit of prophecy comes, just let it happen, but just pull them to the side.
Keep the line moving, yes.
That's right. In the name of Jesus. Okay? What do you want me, sir? What do you want me?
Up front.
All right, I'm gonna be up front.
Story.